The Football Book Club podcast. 14 appearances for... No, I'm not going to do that. Hello and welcome back. I'm James Bug, and over the next hour, you'll be hearing some of our favourite clips from the first series and the behind closed door specials of the Football Book Club. Whether you're new to the series and want a quick catch up of what it's all about, or you're a Football Book Club regular who's been there from the start. Hi, Darren Huckabee. Big fan. I'm joined by good friend Jack Bernhardt.
Hello!
Talking to Darren.
Oh!
Should we go all the way back to the very first episode?
Oh, go on then.
Let's do
all
it.
The way back in the mists of time of August 2019.
Hello and welcome to the Football Book Club, the show where every week we read another forgotten or obscure footballer's autobiography so you don't have to. Over the weeks, we're going to be reading such classics as Lee McCulloch's Simply the Best, Louis Saha's book Thinking Inside the Box, and Barry Ferguson's The Life and Times of Barry Ferguson. You can hear people in the room with me, which is good. That brings us nicely onto what we're doing today. So today's book, Darren Huckabee's Hucks Through Adversity to Great Heights. I went on Amazon to have a look at some of the reviews just to see what people are saying about the book. Here's a 5-star review by Shez, her name is, and it's called Hucks, Love It. Awesome book, full stop. Great guy, full stop. Still so loved from a City fans, full stop. A must have, full stop. Highly recommended, full stop. A super read, full stop. Buy yourself a lovely book.
You could clip that in anywhere,
yeah.
Shape or form.
Buy yourself a lovely book.
Just buy yourself a lovely book. Do we have any abiding memories of Darren Huckabee?
This is strange, but I remember him. I had the Panini sticker book in year 7, and I probably got him about 6 or 7 times over and over again. And it was like, it's another Darren Huckabee. And I had an art teacher who I don't think he was anywhere, lived near Norwich or had any affiliation. But he would constantly go over and be like, oh, I'll take that. I think he was making like a bizarre, any ones that I had extra, but mainly the Darren Huckabee's, he would go, I'll take the sticker.
No other footballers?
I mean, a few that I didn't sort of want, he'd go, yeah,
Jesus
sure,
Christ.
But
That's
have
cool.
you got the Darrens now? Yeah,
I really want to see that
shrine.
Exhibit.
It
yeah.
was, I think there's a shrine somewhere in an art room at a secondary school to him.
It's definitely in Norfolk.
That's yeah, maybe he did have a connection, but... Well, he would loiter whenever I'd be sticking in the morning, in form. It would be
sticking in the morning.
Sticking in the morning, you know. I'd buy like maybe.
Sticking in the morning.
I'd treat myself to a couple of packets and.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, it would
you
be.
You know, maybe he's making one of them. The pictures made out of smaller pictures.
Huge Darren
Huckabee.
He only had 7.
Yeah. That's an odd number for art. Yeah.
Bring up today's dramatic reading.
Okay.
So every week we're going to have a dramatic reading where I'm going to read a part of the book in dramatic fashion. So cue dramatic music under. Good, right? Drama. Now, by the way, this dramatic story is called Nigel Worthington Kicks a Skip. Now and again, there are times when you're absolutely all over your opponents. And you just don't get the rewards. Sunderland away was one of them. We really laid into them till the first 10 minutes, knowing that we needed only a point to clinch the title. Of course, we went in 1-0 down at half-time.
Can I just say, the stakes are so low.
They've
basically won
promoted.
The title.
They're promoted either way.
They're definitely promoted. So the stakes are so low.
That's true, it doesn't stop. But hey, don't ruin the drama.
Sorry.
Important context.
Of course, we went in 1-0 down at half-time. No one could really put their finger on why exactly, but we were losing. In the dressing room, Malky, Mackay, and Leon, McKenzie, were having a bit of a ding-dong. That's right, he says ding-dong.
There you go,
he
yeah.
say ding-dong.
He says don't ding-dong on what?
I mean, that's the 12th ding-dong of the
yeah.
In the dressing room, Malky and Leon were having a bit of a ding-dong about whether or not Leon was holding the ball up properly. Then Nigel came in, Nigel Worthington, manager, and started going mental. It was all kicking off. At this point, I thought it would help if I checked it. Oi, Gaffer, I said to Nigel. You're telling them to calm down, but really, you need to calm down.
Yes.
Say that, Nigel Worthington. In his anger, he booted one of the skips. First of all, why are the skips in the Norwich dressing room?
What is going on there, genuinely?
I don't understand why there would be skips in the dressing room. I mean, Where are they away? It's Sunderland.
Maybe
it's
Sunderland just filled their away changing room with skips.
They're like rubbish.
Yeah. Like, yeah, horrible skips.
Old white goods and all that stuff.
Wait for players to just trip over and fall into a skip.
In his anger, he booted one of the skips. It was full. Which also doesn't make your foot hurt anymore. Yeah. Like, if a skip is full or empty, it's not going to be any
but what if it's a washing skip? Like a skip up for, like, for changing.
Probably. I think that's probably what it is, and it's ruined the story.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, no, but then...
I didn't even realise that. You're probably right.
But then, surely it's just like a soft...
Yeah, it shouldn't hurt his foot at all.
It wouldn't hurt his foot, and it wouldn't be that funny.
Why? It'd
be much funnier.
What is this?
I imagine it's one of the things you chuck your washing until you're going to put it in the washing machine.
I mean...
It's sort of the same shape as a skip, but smaller and plastic. Yeah.
For the sake of the story, it's a 10-foot yellow skip.
It's a huge skip, yeah.
Sitting right next to Damien France. It was full. Nigel all but broke his foot. There he was after that, hobbling around and all bruised up. Eventually, it all calmed down. The point, I guess, was we were already promoted and near enough champions that everybody still had that edge. Winning still meant so much to us. Dramatic.
Oh, very dramatic.
So dramatic. So
very, very dramatic.
I don't know why you think chipping in at that moment is a good idea. Yeah.
Jack, do you... like me.
Are we cool?
Yeah.
Are we cool? Are we cool right now?
Would you say we're cool?
I'd say we're cool though, right?
Do you think Darren Huckabee thinks we're cool?
No, absolutely not. I was thinking about this recently, how weird it would be if you were Darren Huckabee and had four idiots talking about your book that you wrote 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And then messaging you on Twitter being like, hi Darren, how are you? It's okay, we're good. Look what we've done for you, Darren.
That is literally what we tweeted.
Yeah. We said, hey, read this in the creepiest voice you possibly can.
I was very surprised Darren Huckabee took the time out of his day to listen to the podcast.
Yeah. I like how nonplussed he was, personally.
Yeah. He's got on with his life.
He's like, yeah, fine. Yeah. Cool. Whatever you guys want to do, that's fine. It's weird. I suppose it is weird. It was the first time that I thought, oh, these are real people.
Yeah.
We're talking about actual people who can interact with us.
Yeah. 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 And some we don't want to interact with.
Some people we really, really don't want to interact with. When we talked to Colin Murray, he said that Graham Souness would want to kill us.
Yeah. So, Graham, if you're listening, turn off.
Please turn off.
Please don't. Do you regret doing this whole show?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Bye.
Next question.
Leave.
We have read a lot of books.
I think I didn't quite register how many books it would be, and also how bad I am at reading. I forgot. I'm not good at reading. I can't sit down and...
Yeah, I thought you'd be able to get through these books in 5 minutes. And some you can, yes.
And I tell you what's different about reading compared to TV.
Uh-huh.
TV can just be on.
Yes. Yeah, you have to focus.
You have to focus with reading. And this is one of those things that isn't very interesting or insightful.
Okay, hit me.
No, that was it.
That's kind of, oh, okay, sure.
The idea of...
It was so uninteresting and uninsightful, it literally passed me by.
So dull. But like with all, you know, with like all mediums... Reading is the one where you have to make the most amount of effort.
Yes.
Apart from, I don't know, like calligraphy.
Yeah. Which is the Football Calligraphy Podcast is coming.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. Jack, have you got anything that really stands out from the series?
Probably when we talked about Jermaine Pennant's game that I despise called Eggy Boff.
Eggy Boff? Jack, can you explain Eggy Boff?
I can try. Oh. Eggy Boff is... Okay. If you're all in a group and you are lads, apparently, going to this game, one of you will pipe up and say, Eggy Boff is the first person to do something. Stuff like Eggy Boff, the first person to get off the coach is Eggy Boff.
Yes.
And they were he was talking about it was him, Jermaine Genus, Jermaine Pennant, Gareth Barry, I think, like a lot of like England players in the setup. Like who just wouldn't get off the coach, and they were like, oh no, we can't because of Eggy Boff. And Les Reed was there going like, what the fuck are you talking about? The fuck are you talking about, Eggy Boff? What is wrong with you? Eggy Boff, we can't coach, we can't, Eggy Boff. So he had to give out bibs to the kids on the coach, these drunk children shouting Eggy Boff at you.
The next section ruined, we can play Eggy Boff. Anyone ever Eggy Boffed? James, maybe?
No, I can't even bring myself to say it, to be honest. It's horrible.
I don't want to say that.
I think that also you can tell what he thinks about the type of people who are Eggy Boffing, because he said all the nerdy kids got off the coach first. And I was like, that would have been me. I'd have been straight off that coach. Yeah. Like, let's go play football.
I was amazed that Gareth Barry wasn't one of the
That's
nerdy
what
kids.
I was thinking.
Eggy Boff, how does it feel to listen back to Eggy Boff?
It was, I remember saying just a second ago that it was my favourite bit of the podcast. It's not.
But there are good moments. Yeah. They've been good books as well.
They've been genuinely good books.
We make it sound like a slog. There's a lot of joy in reading a lot of these things. The nostalgia you find with some of the players, even the worst books.
Yeah.
There's still moments where you go, oh, him.
Him, that guy.
I thought about, I don't know, Jay Spearing. I don't think he's even popped up in a book yet.
That's a good pull, though.
But some of them have been really good, like Jason McAteer's book.
Jason McAteer's book was surprisingly good.
It was amazing. And that's what was our favourite book in the whole first series.
Yep.
There were stranger parts. I remember there's one bit where Jason McAteer keeps asking people out for drinks. One thing that really confused me, in the tunnel on the way onto the pitch, keeps asking opposition players out for a drink in Liverpool. Like Ian Wright or something, he says on page 87, let me find it.
Invites him to his mum's house, right?
Yeah.
He can stay over, he says.
Like, Wrighty's standing in front of me as we make our way off the pitch. I love him as a player and he strikes me as a top bloke. This is too good a chance to miss. Hey, Wrighty, I say as if I've known him all life. If you're ever up in Liverpool for a night out and need somewhere to stay, come round us. You can stay at my mum's, you know, bold as brass. He says, oh, thanks.
Love the idea of Ian Wright just being like, sure.
Why would you say that in the tunnel?
I'll stay with Jason McAteer's mum. Yeah.
This guy I've never heard of.
To be fair, it's quite a good way to freak out the opposition.
I'd be really freaked out. It's really
strange. You have to say it like,
hey, Ian, you can stay at my house, you know. Who else does he invite? He's someone else.
Yeah, Luigi Casaraghi. That is generally who it is. At the World Cup in Italy, he says something like, if you're ever in Birkenhead, we'll go for a drink and a lozenge. Pierluigi Casaraghi. That's one of those nostalgia.
That is
memories.
A real nostalgia thing. I feel like I didn't have a shirt with Casaraghi's name on it. I think I maybe had a sticker.
Casaraghi.
Casaraghi.
I like Casaraghi, but his face was
all completely out of shape. He got hit by it. Casaraghi after he's been hit by a football.
Yeah.
For Casaraghi. It's like Popo Chesky all over.
That's what I was thinking. I knew there was someone else we got wrong.
It's me. It's always
me. Did you call Paul Konchesky Popo Chesky?
I call Paul Konchesky Popo Chesky. Popo Chesky is such
less
a good
Dostoevsky,
name.
More Popo Chesky. We did some behind closed door specials.
Ooh,
after that.
Did.
Remember them?
I do, yeah.
A little bit different in the we did it with with the recirculated oxygen.
Yeah.
But the winner of that series was Marcus Hanneman, who wrote A Premier League Diary in 2006.
Lovely Premier League, which basically only won because it was so lovely and mild that it reminded us of an easier time.
Yeah, basically.
It was like, he talked about going to Costco and drinking Lucozade.
And my favourite activity when I'm not in house arrest, going to see Tool. He loves Tool.
Loves Tool.
In the acknowledgements, I loved the fact that it's the only book where the person who wrote it has had to thank Casey Keller and the whole of Tool. which I thought was fantastic. Even Graham Murty, remember him? Reading captain at the time, fullback.
Yeah.
He wrote a really good foreword.
I love this foreword by Graham Murty. It's really funny.
It is really funny. He basically just slags off Marcus the whole way through.
Yeah.
But he writes one of my favourite ever sentences. About Marcus loving Tool. He says, he's tried countless times to get all the squad to go to one of their concerts. But can you imagine Leroy Leiter and Ibrahim Asonko at Tool gig? I can't. No matter how much I try, I can't imagine it.
That hypothetical universe that exists. Yeah.
Yeah. He loves
Tool.
Metal.
He loves Tool so much that he chased Graham Murty out of his sharing a room with him.
Yeah,
such a weird.
Graham Murty didn't want to listen to Tool. He's like, "Whoa,
Graham Murty was like, "Could you please not listen to Tool all the time?" He's like, "I think I have to listen to Tool all the time. You just need to get another room."
My favorite bit of his Tool sort of memoirs was when he casually drops in that, like, at the beginning, he might get some tickets to go and see them, but by the end, Tool are going to Cardiff to watch the Carling Cup final with him. And there's no development of that relationship. It just seems to happen.
Do you think there's a Tool diary of 2006-2007 that is just about Marcus Hanneman?
Oh, please. Maybe that's the true Gone
Girl
story.
Just about Reading.
Yeah.
We loved Ibrahim Asonko, but it'd never come to our gigs.
He has got their tour diary down.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You're completely right.
Prison Break. where like he has like a map on his stomach. He's got the same, but all the dates they're playing European sport.
And his head like glows every time Tool are within a mile. Tool are playing. We must get to the Toolmobile.
And there was another guy we loved, Maya Yoshida.
I love Maya Yoshida. I didn't know anything about Maya Yoshida before this book, and then I kind of became obsessed with him for quite a while.
Yeah, it was that one really early on.
Yeah.
And he just had a great outlook on life. Very positive, very philosophical.
Very philosophical. He had like some great little like words of wisdom. Like, I suppose, of all the Southampton players, he's probably the one who is most likely to be a poet. Do you know another Southampton player who would be poetic?
Yeah. I can't see Fraser Forster writing a poem.
Let's go through the whole team.
Yeah.
Fraser Forster.
Who's right back? Cedric's left.
Nathaniel Klein's...
He's long gone.
Long gone.
Oh, is it Franny Benali?
Fountain fans screaming at us now.
Yeah. I don't know who their right back is, but while we're thinking, let's play a clip of Maya Yoshida.
During Southampton's Secret Santa, I am usually given the typical Oriental gifts. Oh. Where he is either given something to do with Pokemon or a Kung Fu costume. So, like, he's talking about how he decided to get his own, or get his own back, but his version was to get Jay Rodriguez a Ninja Turtle onesie because he had commented to Jay Rodriguez that he drives like a Ninja Turtle.
Yep.
Now, okay, you say yep.
Yep. Got nothing wrong with that.
Amy's on board. Amy's on board.
Okay, there is so much to unpack there. When do they drive in Ninja Turtles?
I don't watch a lot of Ninja Turtles. I know of them, but I've never...
Is it just like he drives like a bad skateboarder?
Skateboard.
I'll have a little look at this.
I always thought it was like he drive... I don't know. I always thought he drove a car that maybe was green and looked
That's
like...
That's what I thought when I read it. But the Ninja Turtles...
I think the implication is you drive like a ninja... So you drive really all over the place, like a Ninja Turtle drives.
Having looked into it, they do have a van. I'm doubting... Was it Jay Rodriguez?
Jay Rodriguez.
I'm doubting Jay Rodriguez drove the Ninja Turtle van. I will be honest. I mean, if he came in with a perfectly replica Ninja Turtle van, I'd be like, wow.
But also, sure, feel like that joke makes
sense. It's not really a joke then, is it? It's just an observation.
Someone would be like, you know what? You literally are driving like a Ninja Turtle at this point.
And Rodriguez does sound like it could fit in with kind of the Italian Renaissance names of the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
ish.
If you're really...
Sure.
really stretching, yeah. Leonardo, Rodriguez. Michelangelo, Rodriguez.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I can see that.
Yeah. Jay Rodriguez Ninja Turtles.
What else I liked was that he said that as soon as Jay Rodriguez opened his present, he knew it was from Maya Yoshida, which again...
That's brilliant.
It's Secret Santa, so it's sort of ruined. But I love the idea of Maya Yoshida going, ah! Yeah. Look what I got you!
He should have bought him a giant wise rat. Carl Walker Peters.
Ah, of course.
Carl Walker Peters. But it's not all good.
No, not a lot. In fact, I would say the vast majority.
Overwhelmingly bad.
Overwhelmingly bad.
There was one in particular, not necessarily a bad book, Louis Saha, but very confusing.
Strange.
And unexpected. Here we are talking about all the people that Louis Saha mentions in his book.
God, there are so many people. We've had Casper the Ghost, Gargamel, the evil wizard from the Smurfs, Dominic Strauss-Kahn, twice.
Yes, at least.
Yeah, Nelson Mandela,
mm-hmm.
Karen Brady, which actually is the...
That makes sense.
The person closest to football, yeah. I would argue. It's
Alan remarkable. Sugar, the other guy off The Apprentice. Yeah.
He's a big fan.
Yeah.
Katie Price, he mentioned.
Oh, a lot.
God,
twice.
Sadly.
Do you think he likes Katie Price, James?
No.
Okay.
He blames her for the downfall of children's dreams, girls' dreams.
Yeah, he does.
He's like, they used to have Barbie, and that was the role model of the perfect life for a girl, and now Katie Price came along and ruined it
all.
He mentions Nuts Magazine. That's another one.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He mentions Osama bin Laden and Adolf Hitler within a few sentences of each other. Maybe in the same sentence.
Yeah, it is in the same sentence.
What's
the
context? His favourite goal for Everton.
It's very hard to read for more than like 5 minutes at a time, I think. That's how I feel about it. It's a bit like eating pâté. I'm sort of like... No, okay.
By itself?
Go with me. Yeah, genuinely, because...
Wait, what do you mean? Wait, not like on bread or anything?
The first... Yeah, no, just pâté. Just straight pâté.
With a spoon?
With a spoon. And okay. Someone said to you, welcome to the pâté store. all of your meals are going to be in pate for the rest of your life now. And you start eating it.
Wait, wait, you go into the shop and then
they locked you in and say, you now must eat pate for the rest of your life.
Did you choose pate because it's French?
No, actually, I chose it because it was rich, but you're right. Also xenophobic.
But wait, let's carry on with the story.
Okay.
Amy, James, and I are locked in the pate store.
Because, okay, so there's the foreword. There's also a message from Charles Bitry, and then there is also the author's preface. And yes. The author's preface is bonkers.
The author's preface is my favorite bit of the book.
And this is exactly what I mean, is because you start reading it and you're like, they're individual. Why would you have the book in front of you if you're listening at home? But you might.
We encourage reading along.
They are just a series of unconnected sentences in italics that are all mad.
And it sounds like a perfume advert for a perfume called Football. I think. The game demands that I do my best, and even a little bit more. I'm as dependent on football as man is on the air he breathes. I've become blind to his excesses. Jealous people accuse me of being arrogant because I'm bold. I appreciate being able to live a privileged life. Football gives me a lot, but from one day to the next, it can take back everything.
Can you put like perfume ads behind this and see if it...
Can we do that in edit, do we think?
Yeah, we can do that.
I need to find it royalty free. Sometimes I believe I have the upper hand, but in reality, football is my master. I no longer have any control over my time, my image, or my personality. I just about control my money and what I do for fun. I live the dream and hate to sleep.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, that is a great line.
That is the last
Football by well. Louis Saha. Yeah.
I just love how it spills over onto the first page. Like, the editor's probably gone, can we just lose a couple of these just so we can keep it? Yeah. He's gone, no, definitely not. No, we're keeping every one.
It is. 2 pages long. It is 2 pages long of unconnected sentences.
I think they're just alternative titles for the book that he was like, well, I've got a bunch of them. Yeah. Put them in italics. Them.
Yeah. It's a sexy book. The only other sexy moment was when Tony Pulis was naked in a shower.
Yeah, and that was debatable how sexy it was.
I actually thought a lot more football books would mention some of the, you know, salacious behaviour.
Yeah.
And we haven't had too many of them. Pennant and Monk... Monk didn't mention that at all. Thank God. Apart from Rod Stewart having sex with his mum. But Jermaine Pennant and Louis Saha are the only ones.
Very sexy.
Though. Yeah. And by the way, Rod Stewart did possibly have sex with Gary Monk's mum. That is mentioned in the book.
Gary, if you're listening, please don't sue us.
Sue Rod. Yeah.
Sue Rod.
But there have been other moments where the books kind of become a bit partridgey. Footballers do a lot of mundane things, which they really ram home in surprising ways in the books. And they make really big chapters on them. Kevin Phillips was one. He writes a whole segment about how much he loves his coach he travels to and from,
so
matches
weird.
Him. We chat about his move to Sunderland. We mentioned it in passing just then. He goes to live in a hotel for a bit.
Yeah.
Jack, you texted me saying he's very much like Alan Partridge, and I've just realised how much more he's like Alan Partridge for that reason.
He is so much like Alan Partridge throughout
that
this whole
he
book.
Is. There's one it's... line that really tickled me that I thought exactly the same thing, where he's Sunderland. I've always wanted to live by the sea. I was like, not in bloody Sunderland, though, have you, mate?
I've heard Sunderland's the nearest thing to Bermuda. Yeah.
Also, when he's in the hotel, he does say, there are only so many toasted sandwiches you can order on room service.
Yeah, and what do we think that number is? What do we think that number is?
I don't know. I'm sure he worked it out at a certain point. Yeah. But there's a bit also where he first moves to Sunderland, where he drives to the Stadium of Light instead of Roker Park, where he's supposed to be going, and he sees the Stadium of Light in front of him, and he just shouts into his car to no one, Jesus Christ, it's massive! And there is no way I can't imagine Alan Partridge doing a similar thing. Jesus, Lynn, look at it!
It also gives a detailed insight into the coach company there. Did you like that bit? I really appreciated that bit.
I love that section where he basically just does an advert. Can we cue some advert music underneath?
Cue Mordell coach advert.
Those long journeys can really become monotonous. Mind you, I can't complain about the quality of our coach company, Mordale. Seats and tables at the front, microwave, fridge and couch at the back. It's all quite impressive.
pass the time, I usually watch videos down the front with Alan Johnston, while at the back, the card score's in full operation. So Partridge.
So Partridge.
I love yourself
it
so down to
like
more
it should be quite cool. It's like a sounds like a tour bus without drugs and groupies, but yet he somehow makes it
well,
sound
we know
absolutely dry.
I agree.
Let's be
no,
honest.
No groupies are on a Moordale coach.
I mean, this is the thing: is that if I was on a coach and it had a microwave, I don't think I'd ever stop talking about it. But I realised that if I was, if someone told me they'd been on a coach with a microwave in it, I'd be like, yeah, I don't really care. But actually, being on a coach with a microwave in it, oh, there are God,
like telling someone your own dream, like that yeah. sort of thing.
Definitely.
In terms of like mundane things like that, there's one moment where he says they're on a coach going somewhere to play up north, maybe Bradford, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, we approached the outskirts of town. I looked out the window and the place looked very familiar. Then I saw the Woolpack pub. Oi, lads, so we're Emmerdale, I shouted. But I wish I hadn't opened my mouth because I got slaughtered for owning up to being a big fan of the programme. Everyone else on the coach was expecting me to say EastEnders. Why? Why would they be expecting me to say that?
Yeah, imagine if Kevin Phillips had pointed out the window and gone, it's EastEnders in Bradford. They'd have all gone, Kevin, are you okay? What's
I understand
to you?
I understand what he's trying to say in that he's meant to be going, EastEnders was like a more acceptable thing to like, but it makes no sense. And then on a similar note, another Partridge moment, Lorenzo Amoruso.
Oh my God.
Who gets addicted to something I've never heard of anyone getting addicted to before.
Reading football books. This is simultaneously the most tragic and funniest thing I've ever heard.
This is absolutely
he gets addicted
bit.
To Baileys.
Baileys like
Irish
Partridge.
Cream.
It is 100% like Alan Partridge this bit. And it's also like, it is so tragic. Because he's talking about like he's injured and he has nothing else to do but drink. But
and cook for Gennaro Gattuso. Yeah. He'll cook pasta for Gennaro Gattuso and then they'll come home and see him as a big slob just drinking Baileys the whole time. It is sad. Don't get me wrong.
It is sad. I think the way he uses the term addiction, though, in the book is quite loose. I think he's very aware that it's not a full-scale addiction. And I think he,
and he knows it's funny as well.
Yeah. He does know it's
yeah,
funny.
That's
yeah,
that's he knows true. It's funny. He kind of uses it. In, they use it to sell the book in one place I saw.
It's so funny.
I mean, yeah, of all the things to get addicted to.
The mental image of Lorenzo Amoruso sitting on a couch, drinking Baileys and watching Loose Women is... I would like that photo to be in this book.
It is.
It is. Oh yeah.
This is why I love reading football books, because they spend 3 hours a day training.
Yeah.
And then they've just got all that spare time.
Nothing to do. No. And they pick up on the weirdest things where they're like, oh yeah, this is what I'll mention in my autobiography. How big the coach was. Yeah, that's what I want to emphasize.
We have started noticing patterns in books. One thing, Peter Reid always pops up.
It's always Peter Reid Watch.
Peter Reid Watch. Peter Reid Watch is an important thing in all the books we read. But also, we also notice patterns like James did in Gary Monk's book.
Chapter 4. This is the chapter when he was hungry when he wrote it. Did you notice this?
No. How so?
In this chapter alone, within a few pages of each other, he says... I'll double check this. He says, bite, hunger... meal, craving, little more bite, and let's dig in.
Oh my God.
What an incredible spot.
Genuinely.
That
honestly.
Is the spot fantastic of the book.
Well that done. Is incredible.
I think I noticed
it. Are you writing a thesis on Gary Monk?
He used craving in an unusual way, and that's when I noticed that. And I was like, I'm sure he said hunger a couple of pages ago. Let me just check.
Is he playing a game with us?
Start to fight.
Is there a code?
That is an incredible spot, Joe.
Great spot.
Well, I spotted two and thought, I wonder if I can get three round it off.
I think James might have been quite hungry while he was reading it as well.
Well, actually, I was thinking that. This is a little bit of a behind-the-scenes fun.
Ooh.
We used to cook each other meals
before
every recording and then have a bottle of wine, sit down a proper book club. But then also, because if you listen to the old episodes, you can always hear us slamming wine glasses down the table all the way through the episodes.
I think progressively, the quizzes, during lockdown, got less drunk because we were all quite like, okay, we've got to get through this.
Yeah.
But as the show, when we did the show together, we would get
progressively drunker.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
and it would get we'd get more annoyed with each other. And
that's
rowdier.
Something we're bringing about for series two.
Oh yeah,
rowdiness, drunkenness,
rowdiness. We're gonna abandon some cars and stations
like Jermaine Pennant. If they're not going to do rowdy things, we're going to do them.
Yeah.
We're talking about footballers because they're so tame compared to us.
They are, yeah. They're boring.
But I say that.
You do?
Some of them aren't.
Yeah.
Especially friend of the show, Harry Groves.
Harry Groves.
He's lived a life.
He has lived a life. What a nice man.
I love that guy. He had loads of great stories. One we're going to get to later. But we played a game called Real Book, Fake Book with him.
Can I play a little game with you? Perry. It's called Real Book, Fake Book. I'm going to give you some names of football autobiographies. You have to tell me if you think it's a real book or one we've just made up.
Okay.
Sounds kind of fun, right?
Yeah, we'll go. from where you're sitting, maybe.
Number one, Lee McCulloch, simply the best.
Fake.
It's real.
It is real.
It's
real.
Lee McCulloch was what they called simply the best.
Simply the best.
I think he's over-rigging his station a little bit there. There's no...
It'd be like you calling your book I Am Perry Good. Which was one of the titles.
Yeah, that was one that got.
Liam Ridgewell, Get Rich or Die Trying.
That's fake.
Yeah, that's fake. Yeah. He's got that right. Shay Given, Any Given Saturday.
I think that is fake as well.
Oh, it's real.
Oh, is it? All right.
Frank, it's harder than you thought, right, this game?
Yes, go on. So, of course, sorry. I've got to be honest, probably a little bit more less interesting.
Question four coming up.
Only 30 to go. Totally Frank Lampard.
I think that is real.
It is real. Yes, all right. Gareth Barry, Snog Barry, Avoid Relegation.
You've made that one up. And by the way, if there's a player out there who would not snog, it would be Gareth Barry. he would be in that 10%.
Wait, well, straight batters. What would not snog?
Well,
just in general.
Ever. No, it's probably snog his wife.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a play on. I'm a bit of a player, innit?
True.
And well, Gareth Barry would be a straight batter.
Or it's like snog Barry, avoid relegation.
Like kissing the Blarney Stone. Yeah.
He's good luck.
Tim Krul, Cruel Intentions.
That was a film, wasn't it? I think
it was. Starring Tim Krul.
Fake.
Yeah, it's fake. Yeah, right. Mesut Ozil.
Actually, that Cruel Intentions, it's one of the few films I've actually walked out from.
Didn't like it?
No.
Tim Krul does not turn up.
Yeah, I'm not watching
it. Really sad, yeah.
Mesut Ozil, Gunning for Greatness.
No, fake.
That's real.
There's been many bullets in that gun.
And finally, Alan Hansen, Cop.
See, I don't think Alan Hansen, Bop, obviously, is your analogy. So I think
Alan Hansen was desperate to make that pun. For his whole life, they were like, please don't call it Cop.
A fun thing about that episode, which I just remembered, we were offered...
Because we recorded it at the golf club.
In a very echoey room.
Yeah.
It was that, or we had to record in a women's changing room. An empty, may I add.
Yeah. Oh, very empty. Room. And it had like a signed shirt of Steven Gerrard in it or something weird like that.
Yeah, when you're getting changed to play golf and you're a woman, the thing you want to see the most is...
And I think, because we sat down, we started setting up, and then it was like, it's going to be too weird.
Yeah, to sit in a tiny room with Perry Groves.
And we couldn't work out how we were going to distance it as well. Like, Perry Groves would have to sit in the shower, one of us would have to sit in another cubicle.
And at this point, we hadn't spoken, or I'd only texted Perry, I'd never met him. It would have been the strangest thing to come in.
Hi, Perry, we're cool, okay? Can you just sit down on this stool, and we'll,
And then we went into a side to go in an echoey room where crows kept attacking.
Oh, so, and you mentioned that in the podcast.
It's really strange.
It's just every time you hear this.
It sounds like the Bee Gees.
It does. Well, you can tell by the way that I'm a crow.
On the subject of games, though, we played a few games this series.
Oh my god, we played so many games.
Guys, do you want to play this week's game?
I'm so excited about this
game. This game, I hope this theme works, this game is called Danny Higgs Boson.
Brilliant.
Everyone... You have to tell me if this is a scientist who works at CERN or a national team player for Gibraltar.
Of course it's this.
That was fun.
But
my favourite game has to be...
Uptown Monk?
Oh, do you want me to say Uptown Monk?
No, I said it now. Let's just play it.
You have to tell me who said this. Gary Monk or Bruno Mars?
Because
Uptown Monk gone give it to you.
Nice.
I was hoping that might be a catchphrase. To be honest, I think you're going to figure out the answer to this pretty quickly. Question number one. I'm too hot. Hot damn, make a dragon want to retire, man. Was it Gary Monk or Bruno Mars?
I'm trying to think. Did he make a dragon retire at one point, Gary Monk? Let's go Mars.
You're right. It is Gary Mars.
You said Gary Mars.
It was Gary Mars. It was both of them.
Question two. Who said it, Gary Monk or Bruno Mars? Michael Chopper was a good player, but an absolute idiot of a guy. He would act all macho in front of his own fans, but in truth, he was a coward. Who said that? Bruno Mars or Gary Monk?
Who forgot about that?
Gary Mars.
Or Gary Mars, yeah.
Gary Mars. He has some real great insults, people.
You coward, Michael Chopper.
You're a coward.
You're right, that is a great bit of 24K magic.
Yeah, of course, that is Bruno Mars. Yeah.
The answer is Gary Monk. Number three, because your sex takes me to paradise. Yeah, your sex takes me to paradise.
Louis Saha.
Yeah, Louis Saha is the correct answer on that one. It's going to get repetitive. Despite being so far ahead of the other teams, we had a slight wobble. So by the time we played Carlisle away, we had only one low on two of our last eight games. Who said it? Bruno Mars or Gary Monk?
What are you expecting us to say?
On Friday, we played Yeovil at home. Oh, it was the first game under floodlights, and it ended with a female streaker on the pitch, which was an added bonus.
That was horrible, that bit. I really hated that bit.
But that could be a Bruno Mars bit.
No, it couldn't. He says Yeovil. What are you talking about?
On the reference to Yeovil. I love the specific... He's impressed by a naked woman, which is a very Bruno Mars lyric. And finally, question six. Who said it, Bruno Mars or Gary Monk? Tomorrow, I'll wake up, do some P90X, meet a really nice girl, have some really nice sex. It was Gary Monk.
That's a Kenny jacket.
That is a feature we will never be able to go back to. But Uptown Monk, it sure gave it to you.
Did you? I mean, I'm going to ask this, and I know what the answer is. Did you come up with that with the pun first, or
did you come up with that in hospital?
The reason why Amy says, "Do you think I've been in hospital?" is I read that book in hospital because my dad was having an operation.
Yeah,
I not a serious one.
Yeah, and I think we mentioned that in the podcast.
We do. And the surgeon still listens
to
the show. So shout out to Dr. Data
because he was in the room when you said
walked in the room of this hospital. I've walked in some weird things, but no one's ever been reading Gary Monk's autobiography. But we don't just do great games on the show. We've had a few. We have dramatic readings, which are often not so dramatic. One of my favourites is Maya Yoshida buys some curtains.
I love Maya Yoshida buys some curtains because he goes into so much detail about how to buy curtains.
Cue
dramatic reading.
Nice. It's time for this week's dramatic reading. Maya Yoshida tries to buy some curtains.
Cue dramatic music.
Thank you very much, Jack. In a small town in the Netherlands, it's not unusual to find that only a church and a few bakeries are open on Sunday. On top of that, even when shops are open on weekdays, you may not always find what you're looking for in stock and end up having to place an order, which in turn may take far too long to arrive.
This feels very specific to Venlo, can I say?
It does, yeah.
Yeah. He's not realised this is a very small town. Yeah.
It's true. He must love Argos.
Yeah.
Argos must have changed his life.
He must have gone to like Rotterdam and been like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. No, this makes sense. Sure. Okay, yeah.
But only after he wrote the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
If by some misfortune a member of the shop staff who dealt with your order is going to be away on holiday during its lead time, you might not even be able to chase your order for a little while.
Is he giving a guide to people buying curtains?
In Holland.
Like, in Holland?
Look.
Specifically Japanese.
Young Japanese footballers, if you're going to come to Holland and buy curtains, yeah, there's a few things you need to know. When I first moved into a flat in Venlo, I didn't have curtains for my windows for more than 2 months. Had the flat been in Japan, the previous tenant might have left them there. Unnecessary detail, but in the Netherlands, so I was told, there was a strict rule that the tenant must put the place back to its original state by stripping out anything added or replaced for personal use or taste, including wallpapers even when vacating the property. Did you guys know that before?
I didn't.
To be fair.
You didn't know the landlord rules in Holland?
I didn't.
Interesting. As my arrival in the flat coincided with a local carnival, which meant all the townspeople, including the shop owners, were celebrating for days on end, I didn't even hear from the shop about the delivery date of my curtains for almost a month. For other Japanese people, the order may have taken even longer to arrive than it did in my case. This is where it gets weird.
Oh, this is really great.
Really strange. It's just that Japanese people are sometimes disrespected, so we tend to look much younger than our age to Western people. In this regard, I'm an exception. But in Europe, as it is more of an advantage, I shall proudly call it the strength of an old bloke's face.
it pivots very quickly to being about like racism.
That it does, yeah. It's just about some curtains.
Like, you're just midway through curtain conversations, and then suddenly he goes, "You know what? The Asian people are discriminated against."
You're like, okay, oh my goodness, okay.
Do you think at one moment he was like, "No, I've talked too much about curtains. I've got to have a good payoff at the end of this." But there are yucky moments in the show.
Yeah.
One being, we mentioned Perry earlier. I think this is the closest in reading a book, apart from when Jermaine Pennant kills a cat. Sorry to mention it again.
Why do we mention it so many times? Because we keep on saying that we shouldn't mention it.
It's but very shocking.
It's very shocking. And also because he says it in such like a casual way.
Yeah. But I would say the most disgusting thing, apart from that, is Perry Groves and Anders Limper.
There are some weird like pranks that go on throughout the book. Not from you.
Yeah, mostly, you seem pretty clear of it.
At you or yes. near you.
Both, I'd say.
Yeah. But I mean, the Anders Limper one is the one that we are...
We have to talk about
that prank. When he was a kid?
No. This takes it to a new level. Can I read it, if you don't mind? It was a break to remember, too, for our defender, Colin Pates. He was fast asleep in the reception area about 1 a.m. when Anders Limper came up to us with a handful of little stones he'd taken from the flower pots around the foyer. He looked at Colin and said he was going to put them in his foreskin. No build-up, just straight away.
The fact that he announces he's going to do it makes it that much weirder.
Yeah.
I love the idea of being like, hey guys, here's what I'm going to do.
Then if you don't mention it, he starts unzipping it.
No!
Yeah, I agree.
Because it could
this
be...
This is why you're bad at pranks.
That's true, yeah.
Misconstrued, couldn't it, that he was doing it to...
Oh, yeah. No, he's not doing anything weird. He's just putting little stones in his foreskin.
Sure. Oh, that's all right then.
Oh, that's
carry
fine.
On.
Go ahead, mate.
But you need a bit of... Maybe he just thought, I need a bit of backup.
Okay. Oh, sure. Right. In case it's... Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was he expecting everyone to go, yeah, let's definitely do that.
Well, no, the thing is, no, we're like, that is so unacceptable. But that made it funnier.
Then he went over to Patesy, carefully undid his trousers and delicately placed the tiny stones around his foreskin.
It's the care with which it's done.
Oh, yeah. Inside, it makes you inside.
Well, you want to wake him up.
Yeah. Also, one, you don't... But he was... out of it completely, so then sure. You know it's like being anaesthetised, you know you're done. Uh-huh. But you got to think the detail went in because all the stones in the plant pot aren't the same size. So he's got to be quite selective.
Is it like
of the size of the stones, isn't he?
Is it like a surgeon? True. He's got like sort of someone being like, yeah. Oh, I need a, or like a golf player being
exactly,
like,
no, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, no,
right,
no, yeah.
He needs a caddy.
So there was a quality control going on. Oh,
who was in charge of quality control?
Anders.
Wow. Next morning, Boldy came down and said, I wouldn't want anyone who did that. If he finds out, he'll rip their head off. When Pacey came down, I said, wasn't me. Understand?
That was his first point of call, obviously.
That always seems like a dangerous thing to say. Someone comes in and you immediately say, it wasn't me.
The shaggy excuse. Yeah. And we pointed out, whoever did it, it wasn't personal. Not personal. Pointing stones in my foreskin.
It's about...
What else can we say?
It sounds so weird. But by the way, he didn't... If he would have found out who it was, he would have... rip their head. Honestly,
to this day he doesn't know it's Anders
Limper. Well, he does now, but
did Anders Limper call you?
Oh, no, Anders was shitting himself because he knew.
Really?
Yeah, he knew. He was like, Pates is old school. He's like, how dare another man put his hand on my knob, basically. Sure.
That's not even just process. Old school, that's everyone.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, like, yeah, it seems fair
but
enough.
He's particularly,
yeah,
right.
And it's normally a week later you go, oh, by the way, Pates, you know, it was him. But
you can take those stones out now.
Yeah.
And just in case you're enjoying images like that,
you sick freak,
here is a little story about a young bodybuilding Graham Souness.
Nothing will top this flow of paragraphs. Within two paragraphs, he goes from almost killing his friend with an axe to winning Body Beautiful at Butlins.
Which I still don't understand. A lot of this book is written like a dream.
Yeah.
Like where he sort of will suddenly mention something and you go, well, what does that have to do with it? The Body Beautiful bit is particularly confusing.
Shall I read those two paragraphs?
Please read that.
Another time, our next door neighbour Norman and I were throwing a pickaxe in the garden, as you do.
No, Norman.
When I accidentally hit him with it by accident. When I actually hit him with it by accident. It glanced off his head, which was quite a scary moment for him.
For him, yeah. Not for me.
I was fine, I walked off. Yeah.
I've got brothers, mate, I don't care.
I also broke my collarbone at school. I was messing around with someone on my shoulders, and as I fell, he fell on top of me. One summer, I went with a friend and his family on a holiday to Butlins and won the Body Beautiful competition there.
What does that have to... Okay.
The prize was a week's holiday the following year, so my mum and dad had to save up to take me. I put them under some pressure there.
So, hang on.
It doesn't...
It comes from nowhere.
You think that you just picked that out, rat, that then doesn't go on to describe...
None of that's elaborate.
...or explain anything.
Do we know what the Body Beautiful is?
No.
No.
I think it's basically... Well, First of all, very creepy because he's probably about 15 this current time. I think it's where you, it's like a body, you show off your body, you bronze your muscles and show them
off. Make her beautiful.
Yeah.
Make your body beautiful.
Make your body beautiful.
So wait, was the problem that he couldn't go on his own? The prize was a week's holiday the following year, so my mom and dad had to save up to take me. So they had to...
He's a kid.
Yeah, I suppose that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, I just find that so bizarre.
Well, we've got to have the reigning champion of body beautiful. That 14-year-old boy doesn't come along. The 60-year-olds are butlers, and he's fuming.
Where's the hot guy from last year? Where's our hot teenager?
Oh, God.
It's so weird. Oh, also, I just realized that he didn't go with his... friend. He didn't go with his family the first time. He went with a friend and their friend, family. Yeah. What a bizarre decision.
Do you mind if I just enter that competition?
Having a great
take my
time.
Clothes off.
You just wait there.
Yeah. So weird.
And then going back to home to his own family and going, just so you know, next year we got to go back there because they all voted I have the sexiest body from everyone there. So
you're never going to Butlins again. Yeah. Yeah. They did what?
You're going to have to get a third job.
Are you sure it was Butlins? Also, I really like the idea that might be the same. That might be the same best friend who got hit in the head with a pickaxe.
Yeah,
he throws a pickaxe at his best friend and says, "Oi, take me to Butlins. I want to win a body beautiful competition."
Ending the show like I always wanted to on Graham Souness's
naked
bronze Graham torso.
naked Graham Souness.
I'm hoping more players in the new series.
Are naked?
They're naked.
I think they're
and
must
talk
be...
about Butlins.
We've already recorded some.
Yes.
You should say. Exciting.
We have
it's happening.
Episodes.
It's back.
They're coming.
It's back, baby.
They're coming next week. We really hope you listen to them.
Yeah.
We really hope you enjoy them.
Yeah. Actually, I just hope you listen to them. I don't care if you enjoy them.
Yeah, as long as you get the listening figures.
Yeah.
But we've got some really good books lined up. We're not going to give it away.
Not going to give it away, but also, did they mention Butlins? Anyone mention Butlins so far?
Not yet. So that's our one spoiler we're giving away.
That a lot of people will be listening to this now and being like, okay, cross off. It's like Guess Who. Do they mention Butlins? No. Ah, okay. Cross off. Oh, God, I've got to think of a footballer. It's so, you are very good at picking out random footballers. Freddie Eastwood.
Oh, okay.
Freddie Eastwood went to Butlins and mentioned it in his autobiography.
I think Freddie Eastwood has been to Butlins.
I think he works at Butlins now.
Every chance. But yeah, we've got some great books lined up.
We have some really good books. I'm actually really excited.
It's going to be a really good series.
You know, the joke is that we hate reading these books. Actually, it's really fun.
I love it.
And
I love footballers.
I love footballers. And actually, it is quite nice to hear all these opinions.
Yeah.
And to hear all these odd little stories that they have.
For sure.
I feel like I've got a lot of insight into brains that I wouldn't have had insight into.
Well, and confusing sentence.
I love having insight into brains.
That you otherwise wouldn't have had insight into.
That's my favourite hobby. When people say to
me... That's a good tagline for the show.
What? Insight...
into brains that otherwise we wouldn't have had insight into.
Will that fit into our Twitter bio?
No. But some great books. I can't emphasise that enough. Some really good books, some really exciting guests we're lining up for the series. It's going to be a great series.
A cracking series.
Every week from now on. Every Monday. Listen.
Yeah, every Monday. That's a new thing as well, isn't it?
Every Monday, forever.
Forever.
Ad infinitum.
It'll never stop. It'll never, ever, ever stop.
Starting September 21st. Well, I guess technically starting with this, but September 21st, the new series starts. Please listen in. But before we go, there's one person we haven't mentioned yet, who is an extremely important part of the show.
He's, I would say he's probably the most important part of the show.
I agree. I don't think there would be a show without him. Every week, our good friend Ken, a.k.a. Ken Zong, records another chant about an obscure footballer. He started off doing them as Norwich players.
He really painted himself into a corner with Norwich.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he ran out of that quite quickly. To play you out, here is the, for the first time ever, full Ken Zong Megamix. See you next week.
Book.
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 Bug.
Bye.
Bye. New series.
Back.
21st.
Has everyone heard the song by Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello, Senorita?
My friend has been singing, I love it when you call me Leroy Lita. It gets stuck in my head all the time.
Are we all familiar with the song Old Town Road by Lil Nas X?
Yeah,
He's been singing, I'm going to take Grant Holt down to Caro Road.
That's
to the tune of an Outkast song, scores us, goals and makes defenders cry, steals the ball and plays it down the line. He's Simeon Jackson. Ooh, is he for real?
Wow.
This one's the tune of 50 Cent's P.I.M.P.
Sure.
You'll never get past our number three. Player of the year in 2003. As our captain, he won us the league. Oh, yes, he's Norwich City's Adam Drury.
That's good.
Yeah, really good.
It's a long one.
He rhymes three with three.
Yeah, he does. That's three. Lazy, yes. Actually, yeah. The tune of Psycho Killer by Talking Heads. All familiar with the song?
Love that song.
Irish Wizard. Paul McVeigh, la 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 la, left winger. Today, there's a special treat for all the listeners, all the Ken fans out there, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah,
you're gonna hear from the man himself.
Oh
what?
My God! I wanted to give a goalkeeper a bit of love because you know they have a tough job out there on the pitch.
True.
And I also wanted to give a nod to everyone's favourite Queen of Country, Dolly Parton.
Thank you very much.
Rob Green, we're begging of you, please use those big hands.
P-A-M-A-R-O-T, secret weapon of Pompey. P-A-M-A-R-O-T, let's go N-O-E.
He is Darius Vassell.
What you gonna do when you're up against Gary Naismith? Baby, Stern John.
Higginbottom, striding down the wing, Higginbottom, how you make us sing, Higginbottom, you're so solid at the back, shutting down every attack. Oh, Higginbottom.
Oh, Ken Zong.
Wow, that was so good.
What was that?
What song was that?
What was the melody?
Pretty Woman.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Over the centuries, the world's greatest wordsmiths have crafted the most beautiful sentences ever written. Shakespeare.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?
Austin.
There is no charm equal to tenderness of heart.
And Jermaine Pennant.
I pulled two birds and I went home, which is nearly a proverb.
Welcome to the Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of reading literary classics, each week we read yet another obscure footballer's autobiography. Over the weeks, we'll be reading such classics as Kevin Phillips' Strikingly Different, Darren Huckabee's Hux, Kevin Kilbane's Killer, and Nobby Solano's Blowing My Own Trumpet. Join us for highbrow reviews.
He loves using the word arse in a metaphor.
Games. Who said this? Gary Monk or Bruno Mars? And extremely dramatic readings. This story is called Jodie Craddock Moves a Barstool, as recommended by The Athletic, BBC Five Live, and named one of Esquire's best podcasts of 2020. It's The Football Book Club. New episodes every Monday.
I do not want to read Louis Saha describe sex to me.